Hi, and welcome to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. Today, we'll be learning all about the top technologies for 2019. That's coming up after a quick word about how you can support the show. I hear every day from listeners like you how much value you get from the show, but each episode takes over 5 hours to produce. To keep putting out high-quality interviews, I'd like to invite you to support the podcast for as little as a few dollars a month. To find out more, go to learntocodewith.me/pledge. Interview Cake is an online resource that helps you prep for interviews so you can land your dream job in tech. To find out more and get 20% off, go to learntocodewith.me/cake. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/cake. In today's episode, I talk with Navin Reddy. Navin is a corporate trainer and YouTuber with over 10 years of experience in the tech industry. I first discovered him through a YouTube video that he made about the five top technologies for 2018. And I thought it would be great to get him on the show again to talk about emerging technologies for 2019. In this conversation, we look at the top technologies of this year, what's changed since last year, how to keep up to date on the trends, and more. I should point out that we did have some issues with the connection during this interview. The audio editor has worked his magic, so it's not too bad, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Thanks, and enjoy the show. Hey, Navin, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Laurence.
I'm really excited to talk with you today about emerging technologies in 2019. But before we get into that, could you tell us a bit about yourself?
Thanks for that. My name is Navin Reddy. I'm mostly a corporate trainer, but I do spend my time in software development as Java is my forte, so I love that language. But then I also work on different technologies. Currently, I'm focusing more on blockchain. Apart from that, I also do work on YouTube as a YouTuber, as a passion. And so currently the channel is growing in a good amount. Recently, we crossed around 3 point subscribers. That's what I'm doing now. So in total of experience, I have 10 years in industry now, mostly as a developer.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's actually where we found you, was on YouTube, and you have a large following there. What's your YouTube name again?
It's Telisco. Yeah, it's actually very difficult to pronounce, especially in my country as well, because it's a very native word for my language. So I'm Telugu. So basically, Telisco is a Telugu word. It's a Telugu word which people don't understand. So I have to explain them every time. So that's fine.
And how could you just spell it for us real quick so we can?
It's Telusko.
Okay, cool. We'll definitely include a link to that in the show notes, and also the video that the specific video that I found on YouTube where you were talking about the top five technologies for 2018.
That's right.
Could you actually go over that real quick, like what those five technologies were in this very popular YouTube video for 2018 that you made last year?
Yeah. So in fact, maybe with a different rank this time. So top five for me in last year was IoT, cloud computing, blockchain, AI, and big data. To go more in detail about that, IoT is basically Internet of Things. Example, let's say, nowadays we have a lot of devices which are connected to each other, especially if you talk about mobile phones and desktop. But in future, you can expect all the household devices which we use, maybe your ACs, your fridge, everything will be connected with the mobile phone or with the internet in general. I don't know if you have seen the new fridge ad from Samsung. You can control all the devices of your house using that fridge. And that's something very exciting because it is giving option to both the end. For consumer market, it's fascinating to people because they can see magic happening in the world now. And for the developers, they will be getting a lot of options instead of just focusing on cloud, just focusing on web development. They can actually think about something to do with household devices. Now we can, instead of developing for websites, we can work on how do we handle fridge, how do we handle washing machines. Not just that, is not just to household devices, but the office environment as well. You can automate everything. Once you see no one is there in the office, automatically all the ACs will be off. It can save a lot of energy and other stuff. So basically, you're connecting everything on internet. There will be one or two issues with this. The first issue would be the number of IP address required for each device will be high because IPv4 has limitations. IPv6 will be implemented. Let's see how that goes. But the second problem we have is of security. Since the devices which we use nowadays, like mobile phones, laptops, everything has firewall inbuilt. That's not the case with IoT devices. So anyone can hack your devices, and using those devices, they can attack your personal laptop. So that's one issue with IoT. But again, companies are working towards it. So let's see how that goes in that next year. But then for this year, 2018, it was awesome. A lot of companies are moving towards IoT. The second one, which is cloud computing, it's not something very new now. Google, Amazon, they are working on this from last maybe 8 to 9 years now. But things are changing very fast now because most of the companies, they used to have their own cloud service. In fact, they own a private service. Now they are moving to cloud. One of the benefits which they get is they don't have to manage their own resources. They don't have to worry about the people to manage that. Everything will be handled by these big companies. In fact, Amazon being a market leader in that case, it's a market leader plus I'm a big fan of Amazon. So it doesn't matter if Amazon, will be crashing next year, but I'll be still using Amazon services. They are amazing in terms of the services they provide. All my websites, all my applications, which I've made at least in the last 2 years, have been deployed on Amazon. So I don't have to worry about any of these services from my side. Now that's about website, but then what if you want to have OS, the operating system which we use? So nowadays we install our own OS, and that's why we need a heavy hardware. But what if in future you don't need to install the heavy OS on your mobile phone or laptop? Everything will be cloud-based. And that's where we have Chrome OS now. Maybe in future, Microsoft will be focusing on cloud OS. I'm sure they will be doing that with Azure. But that's the future. Everything will be cloud-based. Even your softwares, all the softwares which we use on mobile phone, your OS will be cloud-based. And that's where cloud computing is heading. There is one drawback with cloud computing, the latency issue. But let's see, that's something people can come up with some solutions. I heard somewhere, we have a concept as edge computing now, which will help cloud computing to get more power. But let's see that how that goes. But then this is something which is booming. Next we have is blockchain. In fact, to be honest, last November was the first time when I heard about blockchain. I was not knowing about it. I don't know, should I say that? But I was not knowing about it. A lot of people who are into cryptocurrencies, they were knowing about blockchain, but I was not into cryptocurrency. So it was not my main focus. But the moment I learned about blockchain, basics, then I understood the real power of it. After that itself, in December, January 2018, I got so many calls from different companies, especially for banks. They wanted to implement blockchain. They were doing some POCs. So the idea behind blockchain is we want to create some database which will be immutable and no one should be able to change the records. In fact, it is happening with the banks nowadays, the government officials, they can change the data. Example, let's say if there is any corruption, government officials have the power to change it. Same goes for bank records. Anyone can hack bank records. We don't want that. If the record is there, no one should change it. And that's where blockchain comes into picture. So a lot of banks nowadays, they are moving from their normal database to blockchain database. And so next year, it will be booming again. A lot of companies, they want blockchain professionals. So in fact, that is my thing now. So I'm going towards blockchain. The next one is AI, which is artificial intelligence. It's not new again. People are talking about this from last decade. But the only thing is, AI is more about a concept than the actual implementation. Yes, things are changing now, thanks to machine learning. In fact, if you heard about Sophia, we have an intelligent machine now, which can replace jobs. So a lot of the repetitive tasks which was happening is getting replaced by AI now. In fact, there's a concept known as RPA, which is Robotic Process Automation. So all the repetitive job, boring jobs has been replaced by AI. All the softwares we can say. In fact, example, let's say if you send me a mail and if I'm not available for that mail, So the normal reply I can send you is, you know, I'm not available now. I will reply you as soon as I come back to work. But that's one way of replying. What if I want to customize it? What if I want to make it more real? So depending upon from where I'm getting the email, what is the email content, I can reply in that way. So when I say I, it's not me, but my virtual assistant. That's something you can do with machine learning. That's something which is happening now. It's not which is coming, but it's happening. So everything happened in 2018 now. So Gmail is optimized now. Gmail acts as a mode of AI. I don't know how many people got that feature, but then Gmail acts like an AI now. Now we have Alexa, we have Google Home. You can use those things, which are AI basically. So, you know, even if you don't know how to play a song on YouTube, just cool, you know, just connect your Google Home. You can ask Google Home, hey, I want to listen to a particular music. That's it. Google Home will do everything for you. So that's machine learning. Next one is big data. Again, as I mentioned, it's not something new. But, you know, from last few years, big data is booming a lot because every company, they want to track their customers. They want to track their activities. Like Google, Facebook, they are tracking everything. Now, not just these companies, all big companies. In fact, okay, why to say big companies? All, every company want to know their customers. They want to keep the records. They want to keep records about their transactions, the company transactions. And everything will be stored in some huge database. And that's what we have, big data. So yeah, that's the technologies which we had in this 2018.
Well, thank you for giving that really like thorough recap. I really appreciate it. And all those, I'm sure those are all technologies that the audience has heard in one way or another, but maybe not in great detail. So thanks for sharing. I want to actually circle back on one of the things you mentioned. You said that nowadays you're working a lot with blockchain, but you didn't even really know much about blockchain until like November 2017. Could you just share briefly like what you're doing exactly with blockchain and what kind of work you're doing?
Okay, so basically the thing is when I knew about blockchain in last year, December or November, we started doing some POCs, what exactly we can do with blockchain in different fields. So one of the fields we came across was banking, but then there are so many companies that already are into finance sector now for blockchain. What we are doing is we are doing something for education sector. In blockchain, we have a concept of decentralized applications where instead of having your data on one central server, we can have your data on multiple servers. Not just servers, but then multiple devices. So let me just give you an example. Let's say if I want to create a e-content, education videos. Now, these education videos can be from one end. So I can be myself. So Navin Reddy is publishing these videos for everyone. But there's one issue with that is only I can do that. Only I'm publishing my videos. There are so many people in the world, they want to share their knowledge. To be very specific, let's say if you talk about one college, there are students in the college, they want to share their knowledge with other students. So we are giving option to them that they can record themselves and their videos will be uploaded on the server. But the moment I say they will upload the videos on server, it will be very heavy. You know, it will be very, the memory consumption will be very high because every video goes in GBs. So we wanted to, you know, some way so that we can distribute the memories in some way. So what we did, we are planning to implement StoreJ now, which is StoreJ is not yet publicly accessible to everyone. But StoreJ is a concept which works on blockchain, using which anyone who is installing my software, let's say if I release that software, if you install that software on your mobile phone, so from your phone, some MBs or GBs will be consumed by StoreJ. So someone else's data will be stored on your phone and your data will be stored on someone else's phone. So instead of using a central server, we can use your mobile phones for data storage. So we are doing that for storage, but when we are also planning to do it for processing part. But then that's something we have to figure it out now. Should we go for public blockchain or private blockchain? The advantage of public blockchain is you don't have to create your own blockchain, but the drawback is for every transactions you have to pay for it. You have to pay for transaction fee. And for the private blockchain, there are a lot of investment which we have to do. So again, as I mentioned, this is, so I'm doing, we are doing blockchain for the first time. We started our work actually from this August. It's been only 3 months. We are still into POC, how exactly we can build this stuff. We have not done the actual implementation, but then the design work is done. We are just going to start with the implementation.
Got it. Well, thank you. Thanks for elaborating there. I also wanted to ask, so again, in this video and what we just talked about, there are these five technologies. Has there been anything that has emerged in 2009, over the course of 2018 that people should be aware of in 2019? Or maybe it's something that already existed, but it's like coming back and it's evolving now. Like you mentioned a few of the examples you gave, like big data, you know, AI, how they've been around for a while, cloud computing, but that they just like went through, you know, they're just changing a lot rapidly and the landscape is changing for them. Is there anything else beyond those five things?
There's one or two things which is coming up, which is, you know, so one is AR and VR. I'm not sure if I mentioned that in the video, but then AR and VR will be booming in future, maybe because of game development. So AR, VR basically means augmented reality and virtual reality. If you heard about that game, Pokemon Go, which was augmented reality, which got very famous. So of course, in future, you can expect more games based on AR. In fact, VR is also mostly for game, as Facebook is working with Oculus Rift, which is a VR for gamers. So in future, instead of having normal joystick on in your hand, you can also use a VR to play games. But then, you know, a lot of people think that VR will be implemented only for games, but then they are not thinking in other sectors. Now, since I am more from education sector, so whatever I do, I'm focused more for education. We can also implement VR and AR in education. As we know, the online learning, the online training is replacing the classroom training, right? So a lot of people, they are focusing more on online training than classroom training. In fact, I used to think that way, that online learning will be replacing classroom training. But there's only one drawback of online training, which is you cannot connect to audience very easily. You know, in classroom training, you know your audience, you can see them. But that's not the case with online training. It's just that everything is online. People are watching you, but then there's no real connect. That's where VR and AR comes into picture. So what if when I record a video, I will record the video in a different angles. So people can actually sit at one place. They can wear a VR device and they can really learn everything. It will look like I'm standing in front of them and talking to them. So that it will create a connect to them. So that's something which will boom, of course. In fact, it should have been there in top six technologies, but then since I wanted to go for five, I left AR-VR. But AR-VR is something which I have not mentioned. The second one is the quantum computing. Again, it's not new. Companies are, a lot of scientists, they are researching on this from last maybe 20 years. The only problem was they were not able to decide how exactly they will implement it. Now, Google did some research on it and they are promising by 2020, they will be launching quantum machines, at least for big companies or enterprise computing. If quantum computers comes into picture, it will give a lot of opportunities to other companies to build some services on it. Maybe, you know, maybe like IBM. IBM is focusing more on cloud services now. So they will surely do something on maybe some cloud-based quantum computing. So that's something we have to look it for. But again, it's something which is very, people have not tested it. It's just that Google is promising, some companies are promising. But again, you have to keep a watch on it. Once it's getting famous, we can upgrade ourselves and then you will be the first one to work on quantum machines. In fact, I'm very excited, but let's see how things goes next year. So that's two things I wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I really liked the example you talked about with VR, AR, and education. I never even really thought about that too much, but it is really exciting to think that, you know, so many folks listening to this podcast, actually probably everyone listening to the podcast has at least watched YouTube videos on learning to code or taken a online course about learning some kind of technology.
Yeah.
And the thought that we could be taking courses that are more immersive and kind of like the AR experience where you can really connect with the teacher is quite exciting. But I know you may not have like a solid answer, but like how long do you think it could take for that, something like that, to start happening where companies are actually making online courses that are more interactive?
I'm not sure because, in fact, that is something which I feel bad about the technology, you know. Technology is changing all the industries. Maybe it is medical industry or bank industry, but no, they're not focusing on education. The only breakthrough we got is Udemy. The only breakthrough we got is Pluralsight and all those online websites. But I feel technology can give a lot to education sector. The only problem is companies are not investing. I feel this is where different universities throughout the world, they should come together and they should start working, which I can see not happening anywhere. At least the country where I belong to or the area the colleges which I connect with, no one is actually focusing more on technologies to be used in education. They are focusing more on classroom training. Yes, they are moving towards online, but again, the same old online training, which people are not able to connect. I remember last, in the month of September or October, I went to one of the company for a training. So there was a huge gap between my previous training and the recent training. So the last training was in January and the recent training was in October. So I was just talking to the team and then I asked why in this few months you have not called me for any training. And they said, you know, Naveen, you are good with classroom training, but then we were trying some online training for last few months. And then the feedback from the audience was not good. They liked your classroom training more than the online training. So people are not able to connect. And that's why I feel a lot of companies should come together to make this, all this new, they should use this technology to work with education. But as I mentioned, I'm not able to see that happening. So that's where we are taking our steps. So that's the one step which we have taken to implement blockchain education. Of course, there might be some companies, but then they're not doing it fully. So I don't think that will be happening soon.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Every day I hear from listeners who tell me how this podcast gave them the confidence to keep learning to code, how a guest's advice helped them land a job in tech, or how just listening to the show gave them the understanding they needed to feel comfortable talking with others about technology. If you find the show valuable and would like it to continue well into the future, please consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. For as little as a few dollars per month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes information about upcoming episodes and be able to have a say over the topics we cover. And if you'd like to pledge more than that, there are even more goodies that are available for you as a backer. For example, a free copy of my LinkedIn ebook, The 5-Day LinkedIn Crash Course, access to my list of special discount coupons for courses and services that I love, and more. Learn more about everything that we have on Patreon and pledge your support at learntocodewith.me/pledge. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/pledge. One of my all-time favorite resources for techies is InterviewCake, a tool that helps you practice technical interview questions so you can land your first or next job in tech. When you join InterviewCake, you get over 50 hours of technical interview practice questions. The questions cover a range of different languages, including Java, Python, and Ruby. You get hints to help you through the process and walkthroughs of the answers you don't understand. InterviewCake has helped people land jobs at Google, Amazon, Apple, and other top companies. What's more, the guys at InterviewCake are so confident that they'll be able to help you that if you don't get the job you go for, they'll give you your money back. You either get a life-changing job or a complete refund. There's seriously nothing to lose. And I've managed to get 20% off the price for Learn to Code With Me podcast listeners via my affiliate link. Just go to learntocodewith.me/cake and the discount will be automatically applied. Again, the URL is learntocodewith.me/cake. Yeah, it is really interesting thing about it. I also, when you were talking about the universities, I was thinking about MIT's OpenCourseWare, which has been available online for a while. Because I remember when I first started learning to code in like 2012, mm-hmm. 2013, it was already available. But I haven't gone to the website very much since, and I know that all of their MIT curriculum is online, but it's so hard to pay attention. Like, I tried to go through one of their lectures, but it's just like a camera in the back of the classroom recording the professor. And they give you the homework, they give you everything, but it's like really hard to be engaged. In some ways, just watching him from the back of the classroom is harder than like other online courses. The one platform that I really like their style, I don't know if you've seen Udacity. Like, in some of their courses, I haven't gone through all, but in a few I have, they keep very short lectures. So it's like every lecture is like 60 seconds or 2 minutes, and it's very interactive. So it's like you have a quiz, you have another kind of quiz, a fill in the blank. So they really keep you engaged. It's not live, of course. There's no VR or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it's just like the way they set up the content. It feels more engaging than like watching a video of a professor standing at a whiteboard or chalkboard. You know, just the camera doesn't even move, and it's like an hour long.
Yeah, that's right.
But
in fact, I feel it's very, very important to keep your audience engaged. Because education is something, you know, people don't like to sit at one place and learn. They want to enjoy their life. They want to have a social stuff. But then they wanted to upgrade themselves. That's why they are learning stuff. And the moment they go online, they watch, as you mentioned, they have, MIT has around lectures of 1 hour and 90 minutes. It's very difficult to pay attention after 5 to 10 minutes. So that's why. So in fact, Udacity is doing that. They are, in fact, a lot of other platforms, they're also trying it. To keep videos short and then, you know, having quizzes in between. In fact, I tried that with one of my series on YouTube. So recently we started with the Python series on YouTube, where I tried to make the series more interesting, you know, with some animations, with some fun stuff. For example, when I was trying to explain about factorial, which is, you know, which can be done with recursion, function calling itself. So instead of just defining the code there, so I created my clones. We were 6 clones of mine, which is calling itself. Just to engage the audience, that's very important in education. So that's good. Udacity is doing that.
Yeah. Switching gears a little bit here, I wanted to know, how do you stay up to date on like tech trends and emerging technologies? And how are you like collecting all this information?
Okay, that's very interesting because I do get this question a lot from different people. This is something which I love, you know. I love to upgrade myself every time. Yet it is time-consuming, it is painful. But the moment I upgrade myself to new technology, I feel more confident. And that's where I decide, okay, every week I should learn something new. But the question arises, how would I know what new technology to focus on? And, how do you learn them? So, in fact, from year 2008 itself, I was having this mindset. Do something which people are not doing it. If everyone is doing it, don't do that. It's of no use. Because if you do it after everyone's done, then you will be you have to be best at it. But if you do something which people are not doing, then even if you know something, you will be respected. That's where, when I started my career in 2010, my main focus was Java because especially the area which I live in, everyone was focusing on .NET. So I went for Java because it was booming. But if you talk about the recent technologies now, which is 2018, so what I do, I go to some websites. One of the websites which I follow is TechCrunch or The Verge. These are awesome websites. There are a lot of other websites as well, but these are the websites where they give you news. But of course, they will not give you everything in the news. They will just talk about the headlines. They will talk about some article. Now, it's dependent upon you. You have to interpret everything. Example, I know different technologies, right? I know about AI, I know about cloud computing since I'm working on this from last 10 years now. But if you're new to it, of course, if you read an article and if they're talking about, let's say, AI, and if you don't know AI, that's where the research starts. So you have to go to Google and search for the terms which they define in that article. So let's say if they say, you know, Bitcoin works on blockchain. Now, you might be knowing about Bitcoin, you don't know about blockchain. Just go to Google, search about blockchain. There will be tons of articles. Start with the first article. You don't have to apply rocket science there. You know which article will be helpful. Just start with the first article. If it is something which you like, you know, I feel if the technology is good, there will be some connections which you feel, you know, you can explore it more. We have tons of technologies. Of course, not every technology you should focus on. Otherwise, you will be jack of all, but master of none. You should focus at least on one technology. So let's say if you go to Google and if you search for blockchain, if you read about it, if you like it, just start continuing that. So the first thing you have to do is stay updated with the websites like TechCrunch. You can follow some YouTube channels. You know, just go to YouTube and search for whatever channels you follow. I don't want to recommend anyone as of now. Maybe you can follow our channel. So what will happen is when you watch the videos, you will get some ideas. Make sure that you watch at least one video per day. So in the morning itself, you can do that. So you can set a time, 7 a.m. What I will do, I will watch some, I will read some news on new technologies, or I will watch some videos on YouTube. Once you have done that, once you have selected your technology, what you do, just check out the course. But unfortunately, whenever you say it's a new technology, of course, the courses will not be available. Even if you have the courses, those will not be perfect. Even now, if you search for the blockchain courses online, you will not find any course which will teach you stuff very easily. They will try, of course, but then since it's a new technology, it is difficult for them as well to put things in perspective, to take real-life examples. And that's why you have to keep patience. So when I started learning blockchain, it took me 4 to 5 months to understand blockchain. But now, if I want to teach blockchain to someone, I can do that in 1 month because I know the crux of it. So that's what. So initially, when you start things, it will take time, maybe 3 months, 4 months. You know, be consistent and stick to that technology. The only problem is the courses are not available, but articles, you can connect with people on LinkedIn. So let's say if you choose IoT, just go to LinkedIn and search for people who are working on IoT. Talk to them. Of course, they will help you. That's how you upgrade yourself every time. But you have to take efforts. It's not easy.
Yeah. I wanted to also ask you, like, which new technology fascinates you the most? And maybe you already kind of answered this because you did share what you were working on a lot the last several months. But if there's anything else.
The second one is, of course, machine learning, which is changing things a lot. In fact, I feel, as I mentioned, everything is about education for me. So even if you focus on education, AI or machine learning can do a lot of things which normal colleges can't even do that. In fact, one of the drawbacks of different colleges is they teach everyone in the same perspective, right? Every student is, of course, right? Every student is different. Everyone have their own way of learning. But colleges focus only on their curriculum. They focus on their test system. They're not focusing on people. But we can design some curriculum based on AI or machine learning that can help each and every student. So, you know, the course content will be customized based on students. That's something we can do in machine learning. In fact, that was my MSc research paper. You know, how can we use machine learning for education? But unfortunately, I was not able to do that. So I started working for some company. I was busy with Java. I was busy with cloud services. I was not able to spend any time with machine learning. But I'm very excited to do machine learning. The only problem is the time constraint. As I mentioned, you can't do everything.
And I also think, that sounds amazing. Like having an online course or online learning that was being tailored to your preferences based on your learning style or something else. Yeah, that would be, I don't think anything like that exists that I can think of. Anything online that is like that. Maybe there's some programs that will ask you a quiz and you'll give them answers and then they'll do something a little different for you based on your responses, but it's definitely not like full blown, you know, customization depending on the student. But yeah, that sounds really.
In fact, machine learning has the power to do that. The only problem is, again, no one is focusing on it. Maybe it is not something which will drive business to them, as every company is focusing more on business than charity. So
yeah, but I also am thinking though, sure, like education, like for the individual, but there's a lot of corporations that, you know, well, corporate training. Hey, you're a corporate trainer, right?
Yeah, that's
right. I feel like training employees could be another use case for like just having better employee training if they're doing like online training.
That's right.
That could be something. But again, like for a company to invest in that technology, like themselves would be, especially if they're like a totally different, you know, they're like an e-commerce clothing company. Like they're not going to invest tons of money to do the, you know, AI, ML,
yeah, exactly.
Online training. So one final question. Again, a lot of the people who listen to the show are very new to the tech world. They're still, you know, a lot of folks feel overwhelmed or lost, and they're not sure like what to focus on and what direction to turn in. And obviously things in technology are always changing and developing, and nothing really stays the same for too long. What advice could you share with listeners who feel this way, like who aren't sure what to do and feel overwhelmed? What knowledge could you share with them?
Yeah, in fact, you know, the same thing happens with me when I get confused, you know, what to focus on. You know, gratefully, I have one mantra, which is simply go with something which people are not doing. That's one way I do it. But again, I will not recommend do that to everyone because it's risky. Because if no one's doing that, it might be not helpful in future. The other thing you can do, you know, so if you have a lot of technologies, of course, you have to choose one. You can't just work on every technology. It's practically not possible. So as a student or as a learner for the first time, even if you're working for a company, the first thing you can do is select the technology which excites you. Let's say there are 3 to 4 technologies which is exciting. Look at their future perspective. Let's say the technology which I talk about, IoT, cloud computing, blockchain, AI, and big data. These are technology which is not going anywhere, at least for next 5 to 6 years, they will be in the market. Now, again, when I say 5 to 6 years, people do think, you know, what after that? Don't worry. Once you join a company, once you join any sector, you will upgrade yourself to new technologies, right? You will not just stop learning there. You have to secure your future for next 5 years. Of course, your next 5 years will define your next 50 years, but then just focus on next 5 years. So these technologies are not going anywhere. You can choose anyone and that will rock. The only problem is choose that technology which you know fascinates you. Now, how do you know which fascinates you? There is one thing you can just ask anyone. Example, let's say if you ask me which technology to choose, I will say blockchain. But then it might not suit you. If you ask someone else, they will say go for machine learning. Again, it will not suit you. It may not suit you. So in this case, what you do is spend 1 week. So let's say for next 5 weeks, what you do in this week, choose IoT. The entire week, spend 2 hours daily and learn about IoT. Not just watch videos, but also implement it. Of course, you cannot complete entire IoT in 1 week, but whatever you can learn in that 1 week will decide, do you want to continue with IoT? So what you do, spend 1 week up with IoT. Next week, only spend your time with cloud computing. After that 1 week, only spend time with blockchain. And then in 5 weeks, you know something about that technology. The top 5 technologies. You don't know everything, but then you know something. Now, you know, find out some use cases which excites you. Example, let's say for me, the use case mostly will be education, or maybe it will be most more of supply chain management. So think about the use cases and think what or out of these technologies, which you can do in future and you can solve the particular problem. Now, if you feel it's blockchain, then start doing blockchain. If you think it's AI, start doing AI. The advantage is after doing this for 5 weeks, you will be knowing something about all this technology. So you can say, yes, you're a jack of all this technology. And you can choose one which excites you more and complete and do the entire course on that. Maybe you can prefer any platform, doesn't matter. Maybe you can learn from Udacity. You can do an offline course from your institute somewhere. But choose one technology which you want to master. And don't think that this technology will go away. The technology will remain. It's just that how much you learn and how much you can implement. There's one more advantage in future. In maybe in next 3 to 4 years, all these technologies will be coming together. It's something like, you know, nowadays cloud computing is different, blockchain is different, but in future, everything will be collaborated together. So maybe you will be building an application which will be IoT based. The database for that IoT will be blockchain, but the services which you run will be on cloud, and you will also need big data to store this huge amount of data. So of course, you will be merging that in future. And the advantage you have is you are a master of blockchain, but you know all these 5 technologies. So that's my mantra. That's what I suggest to my candidates.
Thanks for sharing that. Finally, where can people find you online?
Okay, so the best place to find me is YouTube, as we talked about my channel name, which is Talisco. So you can find me there. So in fact, every Saturday, I go live there to answer your questions. The only problem is, you know, we have so many subscribers, so it is not possible to answer each and every one. Otherwise, you can also find me on Facebook. So you can search for Talisco on Facebook. I'm there. I'm also there on Instagram. So, you know, the behind the scene telescope, or, you know, if I go somewhere, I can, if I go for the events, I do upload photos on Instagram. That's the places you can find me.
Awesome. We'll definitely include links to all those in the show notes and any other like resources you mentioned along the way. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you want a reminder of anything that was covered in the episode, just head on over to learntocodewith.me/podcast. You can see all previously published episodes there. And if you enjoy the Learn to Code with Me podcast, please consider becoming a patron of the show. By pledging just a few dollars per month, you'll get access to a bunch of patron-only bonuses and privileges, like the ability to vote on the topics of future episodes. To find out more, go to learntocodewith.me/pledge. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.